The New Testament reading is taken from Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our second reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament. If you've got the green Bibles, it's on page 58 if you'd like to follow along. Page 58, and we're reading from Exodus chapter 4, beginning at the first verse. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord didn't appear to you?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." And Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out, took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. And so Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. This morning we are looking at Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. After some weeks in Genesis, looking at the life of Moses, we're back in the New Testament now. You might think 1st of July, new book for a new month. Actually, we're picking up where we left off in Matthew some time ago. If you remember, it was actually, I think it was in 2015, end of 2015, we studied the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 to 7. What am I doing here? Thank you. That's great. And so we're going to carry on looking at Matthew 8, 9, and a bit of 10 through the summer months. And this morning, we're looking at an individual. Sometimes Jesus dealt with people in groups, very often with individuals, and just like in this story. So who is the individual that Jesus is dealing with in this story? Who is it that approaches Jesus? You might want to have page 919 in the green Bibles open in front of you. Well, it's a leper. It's a leper. And I wonder what our gut reaction is when we hear the word leper. Maybe it's gross, you know, gross. Or maybe it's poor man. It's probably a little bit of both. Leprosy is not such a problem today as it was in times gone by. Certainly it seems to have been a terrible problem in Bible times. But we know enough about it to know what a terrible disease it was. It's a disease of the nervous system that causes the tissues to degenerate and the body to be deformed. It ruins hands, feet, and face. Because it affects the nerves, it means you lose sensation of physical pain, and that could mean people would injure themselves without even realizing it. And in the Bible world, it made you ceremonially unclean. God's law prevented a leper sharing in the life of God's people. So, yeah, overall, the reaction was gross. A very sick, unclean man. And that's the way people thought of him. And that's definitely the way this man would have thought of himself. At first sight, then, this man is not much like us. But why do we meet him now, here in Matthew? Why do we meet him now? I wonder how you understand the Gospels and the Bible and the way it's arranged, the way that material is organized, the order that the stories are put in. Perhaps you think of it a little bit like this. It's just kind of chosen at random, a bit like, you know, throwing some cards up in the air and seeing how they all fall down. Did Matthew think, we could do with a leper story. Let's shove one in right here. Or perhaps it's a little bit more deliberate than that. A bit more intentional, the way that the Bible is organized and put together. I wonder if you've come across this verse in 2 Peter. You must understand that no prophecy of Scripture ever came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. Prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So Scripture was directed by the Holy Spirit. Everything in it as he intended. The material and even the order of the material. So perhaps the timing of this leper's arrival is significant. Let's think about when exactly this very sick, unclean man came and knelt before Jesus. As I've said, it's immediately after the Sermon on the Mount. Most of us have heard of it, haven't we? We know a bit about it, but if we haven't, the Sermon on the Mount is the greatest body of teaching in the entire Bible. It's Jesus' magnum opus, where he lays out his vision of human life, how he imagines it, how he wants it to be led. He talks about how to love your enemies, control your lust, manage your anger, guard relationships, how to talk to God, how to stop your life being swallowed up by trivial worries, and how to focus on God's priorities. It's amazing. It's beautiful. But it's also deeply disconcerting. Because it exposes us and how far we are from being those people and living that way. So when Matthew introduces this leper, what's he saying to us? What's the Holy Spirit saying? He's saying something about the effect Jesus' teaching has on people. His teaching causes them to realize how very sick they are. Not physically, but spiritually. In the Bible, leprosy was a sort of shorthand for the condition of the human heart. That was the second reading that Adrian read to us. And in it, you noticed, didn't you, that the Lord gave Moses two signs. The first is very familiar, the staff that was thrown on the ground that became a snake, which Moses took by the tail, and it turned back into a staff. That was a sign of the Lord's complete authority over evil. The second sign is where Moses is told to put his hand into his cloak and then take it out. And when he does, it's leprous. And we might think, that is a weird story. It does seem a bit strange. But think about where he's put it inside his cloak. He's put it over his heart. And as he takes it out, the Lord shows him the true state of the human heart. It's leprous, it's diseased, it's corrupt, it's full of sickness. So, that leper stands for all of us. For any person who has heard what Jesus has to say, we have to come forward acknowledging that we are spiritually unclean, that we have rotten hearts, that we're filthy, foul, insensitive, unclean. Perhaps the leper was actually talking about his heart, because he doesn't ask for healing, does he? He asks for cleansing. I wonder, perhaps he'd been listening to Jesus' teaching, and maybe he's more concerned about the state of his heart and his soul than about his leprosy. Maybe the leprosy was just sort of emblematic of the real problem he now knew he had. I wonder what effect Jesus' teaching has on you as you hear it. Do you recognize its majesty, its beauty, its attractiveness, and yet realize with horror that I'm not like that? I'm impure, I'm unclean, I'm full of problems. If that's your reaction, it's the right one. What's amazing is how many people come to church and actually conclude the opposite. They come and hear the teaching of Jesus and believe they match up. There's a chance, actually, that some churchgoers don't hear Jesus' teaching. That's a definite possibility in these times in which the teaching of Christ has been so watered down, it's barely there. That's something every pastor and preacher has to be constantly vigilant about. Is my preaching, is our teaching truly the teaching of Jesus? And we'll be held accountable and judged severely if it's not. But many churches do teach the message of Jesus, and we strive to do that here. And yet, in spite of that, I meet people who will tell me how good they are, particularly when the theme of death comes up, particularly as they approach death and we talk about whether they're ready. They'll invariably say they've lived a good life, and whatever standard God has, they're confident they've made the grade, they've met the mark. But it's not a healthy person, Matthew shows us here, but a sick man whose condition speaks for us all. So that's the first thing the Holy Spirit's teaching us. Jesus' teaching draws out the uncleanness of our hearts. The second thing the Holy Spirit shows us in this passage is that Jesus has not only the power but the desire to cleanse the leper. The leper has little doubt as to Jesus' ability. You can make me clean. He takes for granted Jesus has the power. That's acknowledging him to be God. In Scripture, curing leprosy was God's business alone. I think there's only one instance where it happens. Some of you may correct me afterwards, but I think there's only one instance where leprosy is healed or cured. And it's Naaman the Syrian. Do you remember him? He's the commander of the Syrian army who had to bathe 7 times in the Jordan. Do you remember he wanted to go to a more exotic resort, sort of spa? He was like, I don't want to bathe in the Jordan. I want to go to one of the more fancy rivers. But in the end, he submitted to Elisha's direction. And what's interesting is what the king of Israel said when Naaman appeared with a letter from the king of Syria, asking for the king to heal his general of leprosy. This is what the king of Israel said. It says, as soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me. That's how hard healing someone of leprosy was. No one but God could do it. So when this man says to Jesus, you can make me clean, he's saying, I know that you are God, able to remove the worst afflictions. So this morning, do we see Jesus as God? Do we see his unlimited power? Because that's vital if he's going to cleanse us of the sickness that is in us. He can cleanse anyone of anything, the worst of our corruption. No matter where in our lives that uncleanness presents itself, or how deeply ingrained it may be, or how long it's afflicted us, he is capable of driving it out. What's less certain in the leper's mind is Jesus' inclination. That's what the man raises here, the matter of Jesus' desire. In fact, the leper puts Jesus on the spot, don't you think? If you are willing, you can make me clean. The question is, Jesus, are you willing? Are you prepared to help me? Sure, you can. But do you want to take on my case? Or would you rather not deal with the likes of me? I took a funeral a few weeks ago, and afterwards I was talking to one of the undertakers. He's someone I've met at funerals before. He's a really lovely, gentle man. And one might, you know, one might think that undertakers have to be quite hard people to do the kind of work they do. But this man is a really lovely guy. And he was talking about our churches, and I said, you know, you should come along. The only way to find out what a church is like is to come along and try it. And then he looked down, and he said sort of sadly, oh, I'm the sinner type. Church probably isn't the place for me. So many people are unsure whether Jesus is willing to receive and touch and help someone like them, as hopeless and helpless and as bad as them. Oh, sorry. But Jesus reached out his hand, verse 3, and touched the man. I am willing. Be clean. He didn't send the man away. He didn't say, take some medicine, dress your wounds, improve your diet. Meet me halfway, then I'll help you. He reached out to him and touched him with the disease at its height, with all its ugly symptoms. Jesus doesn't tell anyone who's rotten with sin to go away and come back once they've put their lives in order. Not the undertaker, not anyone else. He's willing to get alongside us while our sickness is at its height. He'll reach over into our lives while our sin is still everywhere to be seen. What a hope that is for us. When our sin, as we know it does, it comes back and back and back. And we despair and we think, God, this must be it. You must hate me now. But he doesn't. He reaches out while all the symptoms are there. There's hope for us all. But this isn't just a story of hope, is it? It's a story of hope fulfilled. Verse 3, immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Sentiment and goodwill are great, aren't they? But it needs to be more than that. And Jesus is more than just sentiment and goodwill towards us. He's effective. His intervention works. It cleanses the leprosy. It cures the man. It drives back the disease. It's Jesus who did it. His word, his intervention, nothing else besides, is all down to him. He cleansed the man. Surely that's the reason why Jesus is so pleased to associate with really sick people, really rotten sinners, people no one else has been able to help or reform. It's so that when he heals them and changes them, it's clear who did it. It's clear how great his power is, and then all the honour and the glory goes to him. So we're back, aren't we, to his healing power. You see, most people in those days ran a mile from contact with the lepers. Lepers were confined to colonies, weren't they? They had to wear bells to announce they were coming. They had to shout, unclean, unclean, as they walked. Because the healthy knew they were susceptible. They might catch the disease. They were afraid, rightly so. Contact with a leper would make the Jew ceremonially unclean. And it sort of reminds us that we live in a world where corruption spreads, doesn't it? From one to another. We can't resist, and evil abounds and gains the upper hand. But Jesus showed no such fear. The disease doesn't spread to him. The defilement doesn't pollute him. The corruption doesn't contaminate him. Rather, his goodness flows out to this man. It flows out to us. In Jesus, the tide turns. Goodness now overcomes evil. Life overcomes death. Could the tide turn in your life? Can the sin that keeps coming back be overcome? You bet. Jesus can do it. Remember Exodus 4? The hand of Moses comes out leprous, doesn't it? That's the diagnosis. But the Lord tells him to put it back a second time, and his hand is restored. That's the promise. The signature work of God. A new heart, cleansed, healed, and made whole. Finally, as we close, as we come to an end, what's Jesus' purpose? We might wonder, couldn't the story have ended at verse 3? Why did Jesus bother sending this cleansed man to the priests? What does it add? Well, we don't have time to discuss at length the kind of examination the priest would have performed and the rite that would have followed. But we know it would have followed closely on procedures set out in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, particularly chapter 14. You can follow that up another time. And what we find in Leviticus 14 is that there would have been a blood sacrifice. In fact, a number of blood sacrifices. Birds, lambs, and then anointing with oil. Both of these would have been put on the ex-leper. First the blood, his earlobes, his thumb, right thumb and his right toe. And then the oil. Earlobes, right thumb, right toe, and then the oil on the head. The blood spoke of sacrifice, as if to say, there is a cost to this cleansing. We said, didn't we, that in his encounter with the leper, as with all sinners, Jesus didn't catch his disease or become unclean. In Jesus, the tide is turned, death and decay are pushed back, goodness triumphs over evil. But all that comes at a cost. It comes at a heavy cost, the cost of a life. And as we revel in his power to beat back sin in our lives, let's never forget that it came at a cost. The cost of his own life. The blood of birds and lambs could point eloquently to it. But in the end, he must die to make us clean. And right here this morning, we've got bread and wine to tell us again that we are cleansed, but only at a cost, at the cost he paid. And surely the man would have reflected on the cost to Jesus of his healing as the blood was smeared on his body. May we reflect on the cost to Jesus as we eat bread and drink wine. And then the priest put oil over the blood in those places and on his head. Why oil? Well, we all know, don't we? I'm sure that the dove, as a symbol of the Holy Spirit, another symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, was olive oil. The man's being told about a new agency at work in his life. The Holy Spirit. His life would no longer be marked by impurity and uncleanness, but purity and power to walk in God's ways. It's exactly what we need to hear, isn't it? Who are cleansed by the blood, cleansed of our sin by the blood of Christ. That Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit for a life of purity, walking in his ways. And just think, which ways do you think Jesus has in mind for us to live, to walk in by the power of the Spirit? Surely it's the ways he tells us about in Matthew 5 to 7. That life that's so attractive, that has so long been out of reach, he now puts within our reach. He now gives us the power to live out. So he cleanses us from our sin to enable us to live a new way by the power of the Holy Spirit. What should we do if the Holy Spirit's laid on our hearts this morning, the sin sickness of our hearts? Well, we could at least follow the leper's example. We could come, we could kneel before Jesus, we could confess our sickness, we could tell Jesus we know he can cleanse us, and we can ask, cleanse us, Lord Jesus.